AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Morgan Norwood. President Biden joined United Auto Workers on the picket lines in Michigan today at a plant just outside Detroit, telling workers he stands with them in the fight for fair pay.
Wall Street didn't build the country. The middle class built the country. Yeah. Unions built the middle class. Yeah. That's a fact. So let's keep going. You deserve what you've earned.
UAW leaders are pushing for a 40% pay raise over 4 years and better benefits, saying it's in line with pay raises for automaker executives. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez is under pressure, facing growing calls to resign. Fellow New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, the latest lawmaker, calling for him to step down. Menendez and his wife will be arraigned tomorrow on federal corruption charges. The arrival of fall, ushering in all things pumpkin, but farmers say extreme weather, from the heat to too much rain, has affected the harvest, with pumpkin patch shortages. This is ABC News. Attorney General Merrick Garland is highlighting steps the Justice Department is taking to tackle the opioid and fentanyl crisis, including going after drug cartels.
All of us in this room know that this epidemic is being fueled by synthetic opioids, primarily fentanyl. We know that fentanyl is a nearly invisible poison and that many people who take it have no idea that they are taking it.
Garland with those comments at the DEA at an event honoring those who have lost a loved one to an overdose. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton was cleared of wrongdoing in a Texas Senate impeachment trial, but his legal troubles may not be over just yet.
Three former employees who accused Paxton of abusing his office are pressing on.
For us, this case has always been about more than money.
Blake Brickman was fired by Paxton after going to the FBI. Brickman has asked the Texas Supreme Court to revive his whistleblower lawsuit against Ken Paxton. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Morgan Norwood, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. HSHS St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls will temporarily suspend surgical services next month. According to a WQOW report, the hospital cited operational and staffing challenges and low patient census as the reason for the suspension of surgical services. The hospital will still offer inpatient medical and emergency department services. Surgical services will be suspended on October 26th. Wisconsin state Senate leaders say their chief clerk has resigned in the face of an undisclosed allegation. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu announced Monday that Senate Chief Clerk Michael Queensland has resigned. LeMahieu said in a statement that Queensland quit following a credible allegation and an ensuing independent investigation. The statement didn't elaborate. According to the Associated Press, LeMahieu's office and the chief clerk's office have yet to fulfill open records requests filed earlier this month seeking copies of any complaints against Queensland. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Wisconsin is facing an unprecedented threat, a constitutional crisis that would overrule the votes of nearly 2 million Wisconsinites who voted in the state Supreme Court election this past April. It's a threat made by some extremist Republicans who are desperate to overturn a fair and democratic election so they can hold on to power. Instead of focusing on the issues we really care about, they are threatening to illegally impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz without evidence before she's even ruled on a single case. Removing Justice Janet Protasiewicz from office would threaten our democracy and overrule the will of the people. But it's not too late to protect your vote and stand up for the rule of law. Tell your state legislators not to overturn the results of an election. Tell them to oppose the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Contact your state legislators at 1-800-362-9472, then visit defendjustice.us to learn more about how you can help stop the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
At vinaigrettemn.com. Elevate your cooking game with vinaigrette.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you. Matt Patrick here. Patrick Cooligan is going to join Brett here in just a little bit, talk about some of the news coming in from Minnesota Reformer. How are you today, Patrick?
Doing pretty well. How are you doing today?
I'm a little concerned because it sounds like illegally Donald Trump has a gun.
Oh, I did hear about this.
apparently, so yeah, this is one of those things where I saw this, and I mean, of course, he's too stupid for his own good. I mean, let's just be honest with you. He is dumb as a brick. But the apparently he doesn't seem to understand that if you're under felony indictment, you can't buy a gun in this country. And this is, by the way, on a quick side note, this is one of the things that's just delicious about the whole thing with Hunter Biden. The Republicans really want to ignore the gun charge against Hunter Biden because to go after him, which, by the way, is the one charge that actually has some teeth to it, you would have to look like you're against the guns, and they don't want to do that. So it's kind of one of those things, and now you have this video appearing to show former President Trump trying to buy a firearm during a South Carolina campaign stop, raised questions about the legality of the purchase on Monday afternoon. Trump, who's running in the Republican presidential primary, has been indicted in four separate criminal cases, two federal cases related to alleged attempts to overthrow the 2020 election results, and a classified documents found at his Mar-a-Lago residence, and a New York case related to an alleged hush money payment made during his 2016 campaign, and a Georgia case surrounding the 2020 election. Trump maintains his innocence in each case. You're all lying. Everybody's lying but me. And they're coming after you. That's it. Yep. He's accused prosecutors of targeting him for political purposes. No, you're just a horrible human being. That's it. The former president, a supporter of gun rights, stopped by a gun shop in Somerville, South Carolina, a critical early voting state in the primary on Monday, just hours after delivering remarks at a campaign rally. Video posted on Twitter showed Trump appearing to purchase a firearm. A Trump spokesperson, then Stephen Chung, wrote in a now-deleted post that Trump indeed did purchase the firearm, but then later, after he deleted the post, insisted, no, he didn't purchase the gun. He wrote in a statement, President Trump did not purchase or take possession of the firearm. He simply indicated he wanted one, which is not what they said initially, nor is it, because it is illegal for him to buy a firearm. And apparently, Mr. Johnny Law didn't know that, but hey, let's put it this way. I guarantee you no one's going to prosecute that case because guns are the greatest thing ever, apparently, in some parts of the country. And yep, that's what it is. But needless to say, he doesn't even know the laws. And although I will say this, if there was a federal charge against him, it's pretty hard for you to argue, here I am buying my gun. Look at me, my gun. Pew, pew, pew. Maybe he doesn't realize it's not chocolate. It could be a chocolate gun. He thinks he can eat it. Maybe he thinks that's the case. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I am going to read a name for you. And it's the first two words of the story. And I'm just going to stop and say this. Von Klingenberg. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Von Klingenberg. My guess is you just figured out where I'm about to go with this story. Just on the name Von Klingenberg. Von Klingenberg, a candidate for a school board election in Roseville, Minnesota, made an appearance on VT Radio podcast in July to candidly discuss his extensive anti-Semitic beliefs and Holocaust denial, a recording shows. Wow. during his interview with the VT Radio's Uncensored Alternative Foreign Policy Talk podcast. You guys need to worry about work on the name. The UAFPT, the UFPT podcast. Klingenberg made several claims about the Holocaust and Judaism that are highly questionable at best and unethical and bizarre at worst. Much of Klingenberg's claims are based on a baseless theory that big Zionist Jews, and that's in quote, orchestrated the Holocaust to persecute the little Jews, and that Nazis were actually trying to save Jewish people locked up in concentration camps. Let me just take a quick moment here. I was stationed in Germany, and I had the I took it upon myself to be a witness. And I went to two of the concentration camps. And I will just say what the Nazis did was horrible. And the U.S. and pretty much all the armed forces, even the Russians, when they found a concentration camp, many of them would round up all the neighbors from around because they knew something was going on over there. They knew it. They knew the Jews had disappeared. They knew all the Jewish furniture and wealth and belongings were now in possessions of other people, that all their stores had been taken, that all these things. They knew that the entire Jewish population just didn't up and leave. They knew it. What they didn't want to acknowledge is what they also knew, which was that there was an extermination of the Jews going on. They knew it. They just didn't want to accept it. And what they did was, what the armed forces, the Allied forces did, was specifically go get the German people and make sure no one in Germany would ever deny what exactly they did. And you hear about the Germans that were forced to walk past, and you know, hey, I'm not, the scarring was on what happened to the Jews, but they themselves will talk about how for the rest of their lives they basically lived with the reality of what they had become. Still, once again, not as bad as what the Nazis did to the Jews, but still, you know, it was the right thing to do to prevent people from basically making up bull to try to argue that we shouldn't have really been upset about what happened to the Jews. And yeah, horrible. So going back to Von Klingenberg, a candidate for school board in Roseville. Come on, Roseville. This is a quote. Zionist Jews wanted the Holocaust, not the Nazis, Klingenberg claimed. The thing is, too, and what annoys me is that The thing is, too, and what annoys me is that we're doing the Jewish community a favor. We're doing them a favor by giving them the facts about the Holocaust, which they may not want to face. I think there's profound cognitive dissonance in the Jewish community, but us Holocaust truthers are doing the Jews a favor. Wow. This is from Heartland Signal, by the way, if you're wondering where this story came from. Earlier in the audio, Klingenberg also said the Jewish religion is an ideology based on victimization, which is a lethal combination with the master race ideology. The Holocaust was an organized genocide against the Jewish individuals conducted by the Nazis in Germany during World War II. Adolf Hitler publicly labeled the Jewish community as the main scapegoat for Germans' economic struggles in the early 20th century. This led to the widespread persecution of the Jewish people, among others like Catholics, homosexuals, and the mentally disabled. Over Hitler's 12-year reign in Germany, millions of Jews were stripped of their rights, forced into concentration camps, and killed by overwork or by just outright they murdered them. Another fact that Klingenberg contested was the figure of 6 million Jewish deaths because of the Holocaust. He claims that it's closer to 300,000 deaths that were mostly due to typhus and famine in Germany at the time. He also said that there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that Jews were gassed in the concentration camps. Outside of as a person who's been to the concentration camps, the actual gas chambers, which are still there. That evidence. the evidence of the Nazi guards who basically have told the truth about this. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Klingenberg has a website where he showcases books he has written, including The Big Lie, The Holocaust. The website also states that Klingenberg's goal is to assist individuals to think for themselves, free of external intellectual coercion or self-imposed political correctness. According to Klingenberg's LinkedIn profile, he received a master's degree in philosophy from Marquette University and taught the logic course, but he has worked as an insurance representative since 2019. According to the Minnesota Secretary of State's office, Klingenberg filed his candidacy for the 2023 municipal board and school district elections on August 14th of this year. He is slated to appear on the ballot for the Roseville school board election that will be held on November 7th. Klingenberg did not respond to comment for his reason for running for school board and whether it has anything to do with his Holocaust beliefs. Should he be elected, Klingenberg will be one of six members of the school board to oversee education policy for a town of 36,000 people. Wow. We have talked about off-year elections, and we have talked about how there is a tendency for us to just skip past it and not care. And the day and age of us ignoring even off-year municipal elections, special elections, they're over. Because if you basically do not vote Democrat or not educate yourself on these, some of these races where there's not a party affiliation, you will basically elect people who are working against the best interests of the community, the school, etc. We can talk about Hastings. And in Hastings, where there were school board candidates who seemed to be part of an anti-transgender group and vilified a young child that they wanted to make decisions for, became their enemy number one. They purposely and intentionally targeted that young child. And shame on you guys in Hastings. A lot of those guys got elected to the school board. Shame on all of you and you're in your school board of hatred. Dear Lord, what a debacle that was. I remember I've talked about numerous times United Dyna 273. That was the group that was trying to basically, because there was a land developer who wanted to develop houses and his lot was in the Hopkins School District because part of Edina is in the Hopkins School District. They wanted to unite Edina, but what they really wanted to do was basically just take their land and put it into the Edina School District so they could charge more money for the houses. They specifically left off townhomes at Bren Londonderry 169 and the apartment complexes at Lincoln Fifth and 169 and the entire northern part of Edina. So it wasn't so much unite Edina, it was so much unite certain parts of Edina. And they actually, there was at one point, and I've talked about this, there was actual candidates on the school board, in the school board races in Hopkins, who seemed to have been placed there solely as plant candidates to try to push this through, It was, as a matter of fact, I think there was a relation to one of the developers was one of the candidates. And I remember calling her up and I said, well, what's your thought about this elementary school's air conditioning policy? Should we get a new air conditioner for it? And she got quiet. And she's, I only really care about property owner rights. Well, but fine, but you still need to care about what's going on in the schools. I only really care about property owner rights. So do you care at all about what goes in schools? I only care about property owner rights. I said, okay, I think I get the point. Needless to say, all three of them were voted out. They did not win that school board election that year. None of them succeeded. There's a story down in Texas, and I thought this was, you know, appropriate. A school board down there was taken over by far-right religious groups. And one of the first things they did is get rid of the football program. And it was funny because all these people who either didn't vote or did vote and thought that this was going to be fine, they made the decision. We are going to get rid of this. Now, they ended up frantically scrambling and getting it reinstated because there was people talking about recall elections, and it's Texas and football. So I think they were talking about, you know, mob violence at that point when they did that. But it's a good lesson that you need to learn everything you can about these candidates. And it's not good enough to just go into an election and just say, okay, I'll vote for this guy and this guy. If you need to know what they are, this is our right as American citizens to pick the people who lead us. And not only in the presidential elections in the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, but as well, you get to pick your local leaders as well. And that, by the way, has far more impact to you than anything on the presidential level. Your local zoning ordinances, your local property taxes, your local services provided, that's all your local community, whether that's your city or town government, your county government, or even your state government. So you should know what things are going on. And the reality is we have a system in place which banks on people not knowing. So, if you're in Roseville, I'm not in Roseville, I'm in Hopkins. If you're in Roseville, you better be paying attention to your school board race. Because if you don't, you can't then be surprised at what gets put on your school board and what mentalities are going to be encouraged for the children of the school district. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been going to Chambaud Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChamblotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Hi, this is Todd from 30 Bales on Main Street in Hopkins. My co-founder Tom and I developed our restaurant to celebrate everything Midwestern cuisine has to offer. Our upbeat neighborhood gathering place brings together bright personalities, bold recipes, clean ingredients, and craft spirits that play with unique flavors of the Midwest. The menu at 30 Bales is inspired by seasonal ingredients grown close to home. Find us across the street from the Hopkins Center for the Arts at 1106 Main Street with plenty of free parking. Go to 30bales.com to learn more.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. So, there, you know, and since we're talking about elections, the Duluth mayor's race is starting to get a little bit of interest here. This is a political letter that was put in there by the Duluth mayor's race. And basically the letter says it all here, that are the argument the letter is making. Duluth mayor's race is not between two Democrats. Ideas and opinions in this letter, those of the writer, do not necessarily reflect the stance of the paper. It doesn't matter which candidate I vote for. They're both Democrats. We can lose. That's in quotes. We can't lose. You know, that's in quotes. I've heard the sentiment a few times now from like-minded friends and associates I heard the sentiment now on like-minded friends and associates with regard to the upcoming mayor's election between incumbent Mayor Emily Larson and challenger Roger Reinert. Larson is the officially endorsed DFL candidate, has secured personal endorsements from party leaders, including Governor Walz. Reinert has previously been elected as Democrat for one term in the Minnesota Senate. So, you know, they both, you know, have been there on the DFL side. While Larson has received a formal backing of the party, Reinhardt has shifted lanes to accommodate the circumstances of his candidacy. By labeling himself as purple, he aims to pull support from voters who think of him as a Democrat, as well as anti-Larson conservatives who are making hay out of the unique opportunity to siphon votes from the progressive pond. In truth, why should party affiliation or endorsement matter to Democrats in Duluth's mayoral election, which is technically a nonpartisan contest? And why don't we all long for a little more purple amidst the disheartening morass of polarization politics? The answer is this. The path that Reinhardt is taking, playing both sides as a populist, purporting that the Duluth purporting that the Duluth City government is broken, hitting Larson through a negative lens for problems that frustrate Duluth citizens but plague countless similar cities as well. The promising to do better for everyone, the unrealistic, disingenuous result there. So basically, it's in the article here is the Duluth Tribune, so it does this stuff. It basically goes on to talk about how the he's pandering to the Republicans quite a bit, and that's not, you know, that's not necessarily a Democrat, and it doesn't mean, and to a point, I agree with the concept of the letter. The letter is basically that, you know, you can't just necessarily go on out there and you know, be against someone who wants to work across the aisle. But there's guys like Tim Walz who do work across the aisle, but at the end of the day, he is, he basically is a guy who is, you know, is first and foremost a Democrat, a DFLer. I'm going to start paying more attention to this Duluth race because I think this is a tactic you're starting to see more and more from Republicans who basically don't have any chance. They've had a few city council candidates in Minneapolis who, there was one, and gosh, it was not that long ago. I can't remember what election it was. One guy who basically says, I'm an independent thinker, but I lean left. And while you find out, well, he ran as a Republican a few different times. And I think that... If you're a moderate Republican, it's tough times for you. On one side, you have a party that unless you pass the most far-right extensive agenda that you basically are not welcome within the party. And on the other side of it, you have the Democrats who generally are, you know, somewhat progressive. But the reality is it's gotten to the point if you're a moderate Republican – it's easier for you to lie and say, I'm a Democrat, let me run as a DFLer, than it is to run as a Republican. And, I mean, you just had, was it the mayor of Dallas, who a lot of people for a long time has speculated is actually a Republican, has now officially changed parties to the Republican Party, ran as a Democrat, won as a Democrat, and now is, oh, I'm actually a Republican. And I think you're going to see this more and more and more. And the reality is you've got to educate yourself on these candidates. And if you are seeing a DFLer who's ignoring traditional DFL allies so that they could meet with Republican allies, is that really a DFLer? Duluth is a deep blue city. I mean, it is progressive. I mean, it puts most of Minneapolis-St. Paul to shame. So the only way you're going to win is if you can play yourself off as a Democrat. Now, Reinhardt did run as a Democrat, and I'll be honest with you, you go up there into northern Minnesota, the Democrats up there generally run a little bit more towards the moderate side, if not the Republican side. Absolutely. I'm not necessarily saying, I mean, how many Democrats are up on the Iron Range that are pro-mining? There are tons. And even one just like, okay, this has never been done environmentally safe. This has never been done environmentally safe. At the same time, I will make sure I understand. I want to make sure we touch on one thing, which is a sensitive subject for progressives. And we can tie in Mary Moriarty here in Minneapolis. Mary Moriarty is not going to win re-election. I'm sorry, she's just not. Because we have had now multiple cases where people have been involved in murders where there's a dead person. And the mentality is, well, their brain isn't developed. Which, can I just say for the life of me, how insulting that is to every 15-year-old or 16-year-old who didn't murder somebody, which is, news alert, the vast majority of 15 and 16-year-olds who did not murder somebody. You sit there and you say, well, we can't give this person who murdered somebody a serious jail sentence. Their brain's not developed. That ignores the fact that the vast majority of 15 and 16-year-olds do not murder people. It'd be one thing if there was, you know, a murder a day by a 15 or 16-year-old, and there's just not. And if the murder a days were happening in everywhere, because 15 and 16-year-olds, they still don't know that you can't shoot someone with a gun. No, wait, what are you going to do? That's not what's going on here. These are crimes. And I'm not saying that there is not encouragement or trickery or any of this stuff. But the reality is to go on out there and just sort of say, we're going to, on a theory, hope that this person who murdered somebody or helped murder somebody won't go down a bad path again. And like I said, in many places where they have tried this, guess what? It's not gone well. San Francisco was one of the latest ones where basically they recalled their district attorney and basically said this is not working. There are some very big problems here that you just, on the progressive side, that you just cannot throw your hands in the air and say, well, people just need to get over it. Encampments. That's a pretty big problem. That's a huge problem. And it's a problem which is multifaceted. Not only do you have a lack of resources available to help people who are on the streets, but you do also have a tremendous amount of pushback anytime someone tries to build a homeless shelter to deal with homeless individuals because the local community around that facility also says, well, we want to help the homeless, but just not here. Very Christian. But you can't just shrug your shoulders and say, you know, let them camp on private property and act as if when the person who owns the property says, well, I'd rather not have them there, or when there's actual health concerns about the camp encampment, that you basically just shrug your shoulders and say they just have to deal with it. No, you have to have a better plan in place of than just ignoring that problem. You see, these are the kind of things. Don't get me wrong. I think we all want a better world. But, and I said this before when I was in Portland, and I went out to Portland, and they have a very different mentality towards homelessness in Portland, Oregon, where they basically say, you know, just you can be homeless, you can be on the streets, we don't care. And in turn, but as long as you do not bother or harass anyone, you're fine. And as I said, okay, after walking through Portland and walking past people who clearly reeked to high hell, people who were scrambling through trash cans to find half-lit cigarette butts, stuff like that, leaving piles of trash on the ground, I said, all you're doing is basically giving people the ability to ignore the problem. And that's not solutions. Shrugging your shoulders and saying, I don't know what to do, that doesn't solve any problems. And yeah, homelessness is a complicated problem. Charging in crimes is a complicated problem. But these are the traps that progressives are falling into. You have to have better answers than, I don't know. You have to have a better game plan. This is one of the reasons I'd mock the Green Party forever. Great, I get it. Earth stuff. Tell me what your military policy is. That's not important. We want to do this. No, it is a fairly important thing. You need to have a policy on that. But what happens is, through your inaction, through your inability to deal with the crisis, through your shrugging of your shoulders of these legitimate issues, you open the door for someone who's really not a Democrat to come on in there and basically win an election. And once again, Reinhardt, I'm not quite sure. He did run as a Democrat. They do run a little bit more moderate up there. But he has been getting a lot of pandering from the right. And I mean, he's not running as a Democrat. He's running as purple. He's running as, I'll go with the other side as much as I'll go with my side. That's what purple means. I'm not really blue. I'm more purple. Well, yeah, we all are. But at the end of the day, I vote Democrat. Sure, there's one or two issues I have that are more on the conservative side, but I'm not about to vote for Republicans. Period. So you got a problem there in Duluth, and I don't know what you do. I mean, all you can do is make the best judgment you can. But on one side, you have a candidate who claims to be a Democrat, who does seem to be snuggling up more to the Republicans than to the progressive side of the party in a town that's very progressive. On the other side, you have a progressive mayor who basically is being attacked fairly, you know, viciously for problems which partially are the fact that they're not being addressed is her fault. So where do you go? I don't live there. Good luck, Duluth. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
If you've made the decision to level your home and build new or to renovate, hire Better Futures Minnesota to take it apart by hand. Think before you scrap. Think of the energy and greenhouse gases saved by diverting what can be reused and recycled from the landfill. Better Futures Minnesota can do it for you. Hennepin County residents and public entities, there are funds available to make the environmentally right thing to do comparable to demolition. Check out BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. That's BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood restaurant in the Whittier neighborhood at 26th and Lindale. Nightingale has patio, dining room, and bar seating available. Plus, they still have takeout and delivery. Their menu has lots of delicious options like the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings, Smoked Chicken Liver Pate, and more. They're open from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily with their full menu until midnight. So make the friendly neighborhood Nightingale your go-to restaurant in South Minneapolis. Place an order, make a reservation, and more at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Shambaugh from Shambaugh Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been going to Shamblot Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Shamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at shamblotfamilydentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for scattered rain showers throughout today with a high near 65. Tonight cloudy with a low around 58, and Wednesday partly cloudy with a high near 67. Take your meals to the next level with Vinaigrette's premium oils and vinegars. They have a huge selection, so you'll never run out of options. Vinaigrette is the perfect choice for anyone who loves quality ingredients. Located in Minneapolis off 50th and Xerxes, or at vinaigrettemn.com. Elevate your cooking game with Vinaigrette.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Staying in Duluth here, I saw this story, and a Catholic group for students at the University of Minnesota Medical School in Duluth that opposes gender-affirming care is fracturing the small rural-focused program. The student section of the Catholic Medical Association, which also includes students enrolled at the University of Duluth, Minnesota Duluth campus of College of Pharmacy, formed in 2021. It aligns with Catholic beliefs that largely oppose gender-affirming care for minors, which includes medications that suppress puberty and hormones for older teens, as well as contraception and abortion, according to the website. My days are filled with so many lectures and guidelines that I knew that were not right or ordered at all, and they are most definitely against our beliefs as Catholics, wrote Emma Pirro, the first president of the group, in an essay on the site. The Duluth campus of the U's medical program, where most students stay for 2 years before moving on to the Twin Cities or a rural town for training, focuses on family medicine in rural areas and Native American communities. That rural focus has some fellow students worrying about those beliefs will affect their future patient care, particularly where gender care is involved. My biggest concern is many of these students will be working in rural areas, and there's already a lack of access to that type of care, said third-year medical student Morgan Johnson. These patients will be at higher risk than they already were. Now, I have a very, linear thought process on this sort of thing. If you want to become a doctor, but there are certain people you don't want to treat, then don't become a doctor. Don't all of a sudden, if you're going to have your religion override your medical oath, then go become a veterinarian. Then go become a veterinarian. Don't become a doctor for human beings. Because this is the idea that, you could have, if we tolerate this sort of thing, if you have someone who is who believes their religion thinks cancer is great, and they're the only doctor in a county, in a rural county, where there are cancer patients, can you trust that person to basically give fair treatment? What if you get someone who's anti-vax? And you have someone that comes in and says, I'd like to get the MMR vaccine for my kid. And they say, sorry. You're part of the lunatic fringe, parent. Why are you here? You need to go. You go to those liberal places where you can get your vaccinations. If you don't want to do credited, this is insanity to me, if you want to know the truth. These are accepted, tested, medically examined procedures which have been deemed to be perfectly fine. Many of them with tons of mental health therapy to help people go through transitions and stuff like this. And for you to basically say, I don't like it, so you're not going to do it. That is the epitome of anti-freedom, if you ask me. That's the epitome of anti-freedom. And I know, by the way, I already know anti-vax guys are like, well, wait a second, Matt McNeil. What about all these people that didn't want to get vaccinated, that you're this? I never said people should get forced to get vaccinated. The problem you guys had was this. You didn't want to get vaccinated. That's fine. But then what you need to do is accept the responsibility of your decision, which means you probably shouldn't be around people without a mask on. You probably shouldn't be demanding that the sports bars be open so you can go get your chicken wings and beer, because somehow you've convinced yourself that you not getting a vaccination has made you impervious to a disease, which is not true. The problem there is not the fact that you chose not to get vaccinated. The problem there is that you expected the world to basically cave to your wishes, and that's not how this goes. And that's what let's face it here. As a matter of fact, what I find to be interesting about this is, think about the Catholic faith, and now think about what procedures this person might be put into, that if they're in one of these extreme mentalities of Catholicism, that they basically go on out there and say, no, I'm not going to do this. Let's say a mom comes in and this person discovers that there is a condition with her pregnancy where if she does not get an abortion of the child, she does not abort the child, even though the parent clearly wants to have the child, that the mom will die. Will the doctor tell her the truth? Will that doctor tell her, you'd better go, I'm not going to do this because it's against my religious beliefs, but you can go to, here's another clinic that's nearby, they will do this procedure so you can save your life. But I would rather have you die because of my religious beliefs, so just go with it. Or would she just say, perfectly fine, perfectly fine, and then try to scream religious freedom after the mom dies because they had the knowledge that her life was in jeopardy? I think that this is a huge problem because it's easy for them to basically just sort of say, well, okay, so how many kids would they have to work with here? That's irrelevant. It's the fact that they're applying a religious standard to what they're going to do with the community as a whole, that their religious standard has to be the religious standard of the community. And I don't think that that is that you don't want, if you don't want to basically apply medicine fairly, then go be a vet. Then go be a vet. Don't deal with humans. This in a city that bans conversion therapy, she said, in a state with a shield law that says it won't support any state prosecution of parents or parents or doctors providing gender-affirming care for children. My biggest concern is many of these students will be working in rural areas. There's already a lack of access to that kind of care. Conversion therapy is the practice of attempting to change a non-heterosexual person's sexual orientation to gender identity to align with the heterosexual or cisgender norms. Messages to Piro and several others, past and present members of the group, which received $180 each for the past few years from the University of Minnesota's Medical Student Council, funded by the university, were not returned. Interim regional campus dean Kevin Diebel said he wasn't aware of any complaints made to faculty about the group and hadn't received any himself. The school teaches its students to care for patients for all backgrounds, he said, and its approach to controversial topics is to teach them to transfer patients to another provider if they must, but they always ensure the patient receives care. There's where the question is. And because I want to go back to the term, the words that they were using here. The days are filled with so many lectures and guidelines that I knew were not right or ordered at all. And they were most definitely against my belief as Catholic on this. So Emma Pirro has made the decision that what is right and what is wrong. She has made the decision that it's not about transferring to someone else. It's basically saying, no, that this is not right. And then the question comes in is, would they transfer someone who wants to get an accepted medical procedure done to another doctor if their personal religions were offended by that? Our hope is that message gets carried on. The students take that to heart and put it into practice, Diebel said. To second-year medical students Jamie Sharp, it appears the group is working against the best practices that students are taught regarding LGBTQ care, and it makes the class uncomfortable, he said. It's really important for trans folks, queer folks, women to feel comfortable working in this field and feeling like they would be safe and free of discrimination throughout the educational process. But the content of the group's website's tense class discussions and the very existence of the group makes it hard to coexist with them and trust them as colleagues and fellow professionals. I'm Jewish, but my religion will never affect my practice and make it so someone gets different treatment from someone else because of their identity. Good for you, Jamie. All my best. Is it Jamie Sharp? Yeah, Jamie. Jamie, all my best. I hope you find a good job there. Someone we'd be lucky to have you. You already seem to have your head in the right place. You got to nip this crap in the bud. You can't, you've got to nip this crap in the bud, and you cannot just allow people to so openly say, well, if it's against my religion, I'm not going to help you. And maybe this is something that the Minnesota State Medical Licensing Board needs to take into account that, and once again, the question here is not, okay, I'm sorry. I can't serve you on this. And I'm going to send you to a different doctor. They're going to be able to take care of you. And that process doesn't include a long lecture about why God hates that person, a long lecture about you're going to burn in hell, or a doctor who is asked this being told, that care is not available, have a good day, and do not come back to my office. And you see, it seems to me what people want is they want to be able to take a stance without any accountability for said stance. That the rest of us have to sit there and basically accept their version of the world at the world's detriment. And I'm just... It's stuff like this. By the way, just on a quick side note, and once again, for all the religious folks out there, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm Christian, but I used to be Catholic, and I'm not part of the Catholic Church anymore. And you know why? Is because of this. The entire concept of Jesus was to welcome people in and take care of people and take care of the sick, take care of the needy, welcome in strangers from strange lands, feed the hungry. It wasn't about hate. And I'm telling you what I'm not going to do. And you wonder why pews are getting emptier and emptier in many churches. It's because of stuff like this. And the reality is I don't think it's going to be able to fix itself. I don't know where things go. But as long as this is, I've got my children who are on college campuses and they have these Catholic groups. And, you know, it's always about we're going to go protest the abortion clinic. It's never about we're going to go feed hungry people. It's never about we're going to go make sure the homeless are off the street and get some warm food and a place to rest tonight. It's never we're going to go find, you know, new immigrants and welcome strangers into strange lands. It's never any of that. It's never that. That's never on the agenda. That's never on the game plan. It's hate. And I just, it is embarrassing to see where this is going. And I think that unless the state medical board starts putting some standards in place that are very clear that you do not give people religious lectures about why you're not going to give them medical care, and you basically say that you have a duty that if someone comes in and they want an accepted medical procedure done and you don't want to do it, you need to make sure that person gets to a facility and a care team that actually does believe they're there for the betterment of that patient, not for an extended religious doctrine. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Gina. Matthew, I will not read this next line.
I'll be your snookum wookums.
Fine. My husband is the sexiest radio host in Minnesota, Matt McNeil.
Dang straight.
When it came time to replace my vehicle, I wanted an option that was safe in the environment. I wanted a hybrid. My RAV4 hybrid is a greener vehicle without sacrificing style and comfort. I love my Toyota hybrid.
Toyota hybrids are incredibly fuel efficient. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
No matter if you're eating out or cooking something at home, eatlocalminnesota.com has you covered with a list of locally owned restaurants and food purveyors. Locally owned Vinaigrette has been offering the finest olive oil and vinegar since 2009. Reintroduce yourself to all the many flavors by tasting before you buy. From darker white balsamic to cold-pressed extra virgin olive oil from all over the world, there is something for everyone. Vinaigrette, located at 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, or at vinaigrettemn.com. The Park Tavern is your go-to destination for fun. Enjoy the fantastic food like their pizzas, burgers, and sandwiches, the best bowling in Minnesota, their wildly popular outdoor patio, great drink specials, all the big games on their numerous screens, and it's the perfect place for your next private event, even large gatherings for over 200. The Park Tavern is your go-to destination for everyone. Have fun at the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park.
We'll be right back. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I did want to mention this. I saw this was talking about making some bad mistakes, making a bad decision here. The Minneapolis music venue and eatery Ice House issued an apology on Monday night after taking heat over the weekend for canceling a Latinx community dance party last minute to instead host the more lucrative corporate booking. The higher paying gig, it turned out, was the official after party of comedian Dave Chappelle's Xcel Energy Center performance on Saturday. Ice House management and its social media posts after, once again, they dumped the community dance party for Dave Chappelle and got pushback, considering it's Latinx Heritage Month, to cancel the Latinx community dance party. We hear you, Ice House management said. We're sorry and particularly understand the optics of having done this during the Heritage Month. An eclectic, multifaceted facility on Nicollet Avenue that books jazz, electronic, acoustic, and new rock acts, and the occasional comedy show like a five-night run by Chappelle in 2017. Ice House was supposed to host another party on Saturday, a Noche Shingana party on Saturday. The event it has welcomed before. The dance parties are helmed by a DJ, Talia Knight, and Queen Duin, whose mission statement is, it centers on highlighting Latinx music and culture, and it's empowered to create a safe space for women and queer people. The word is Spanish slang for aggressive or pushy woman. In a social media post that went up on Saturday, Talia Knight and Queen Duin complained that the cancellation was being made on such short notice. They choose a corporate buyout over our show and let us know this morning, the DJs wrote. We had absolutely no control or say in this decision. We are deeply saddened and upset that this happened. Of course they did. Okay, first of all, as much as you might want to get upset about this. Well, no, I mean, let me take that back and reframe it. You have a right to be upset about this. They're not going to stop doing this. You know, they have a chance to get a picture with Dave Chappelle sitting in their facility having a good time. Even if they had really thought about this, which I don't think they did, I think they still would have said, sorry, you know, or at the very least tried to find a neighboring facility or a, you know, a sister bar or whatever they could hold the other event at. Because of course they're going to. That's just kind of the general nature of this sort of thing. It's a very Republican thing to ask for forgiveness, not ask for permission. That's how Republicans operate. And that should probably be that should be the what they put on a lot of the gravestones for Republicans over the years. It's like, you know, I just ask for forgiveness, not for permission. But you're not going to stop this sort of thing from happening because there is such a demand for the high-end, glitzy events. And Ice House, I guarantee you, as much as it's a mistake that they did this, Ice House will end up getting, and tragically and sadly, get more traction from the Dave Chappelle after party than they will for this as far as future credibility goes. And so, yeah, I think what you're going to get is this, is they're just not going to have your dance party anymore. And they'll say, well, what you going to do? We might have an event going on here. So when we come back, we're going to take a break here towards the top of the hour here. But when I do come back, I got to bring up something. If you missed it, David McCollum passed away. Now, if you don't know who he was Ducky on NCIS. He was on The Man from U.N.C.L.E. He died at 90 years old. But in case you missed it, there's something that pretty much everyone who is 40 and younger know this guy for and love this guy for. I'll explain that here, and you'll agree in just a second. Hour two, that's coming up next.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Betcha didn't know that 2,300 people in Minnesota are currently waiting for a life-saving transplant. Check your driver's license to see if you're a registered donor. It's an easy way to help others. One donor can save and heal more than 75 lives. Ready to register and don't know how? Check the box on your ID at the DMV or skip the lines and register online today at life-source.org.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.